What's up? Good morning. It's good to see you. All of you. It's good to see you. Where are we at? That's not very good grammar. Still in the book of James, for we're visitors today. We've been going through the book of James. We're coming to the end of it. We should finish up chapter 4 today. It only has 5 chapters. Last week, we talked about a path to victory. There was a promise in last week's message. Actually, we read it this morning in our devotional, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Who does the devotionals? Who picks those out? Okay, I see a hand going up. I see hands pointing. Okay, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a real good one. That's a promise. And we went over that last week, and that's amazing. Today, we're going to go over the last part of that chapter. And it's pertaining to living in submission to God's will. Living God's will. What's God's will? How do we know God's will? We're going to go over that today. As believers, we often make plans. As people, not just believers, everybody, we often make a lot of plans. But James is going to remind us how important it is to align our will with God's will. And the verses we're going to go over today is going to be chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. He's going to challenge us to consider this. As we approach the future, our plans need to be His will. We're going to hear a lot about the future this year. It's an election year. We've heard a lot about the future this past week. Whew. My goodness, we need God's will. No matter which side of the aisle you're on, we need to talk about that this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 4. I'm going to be reading out of the Christian Standard Bible as I normally do. Starting at verse 13, it says, "Come now, you say, today or tomorrow we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and do business and make a profit. Yet do you know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be? For you are like vapors that appear for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So it is sin to know good and yet not do it." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity. I thank you for this past week, Lord, to be able to get into your word, to be able to study your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit revealing it last week in the victory that we have in you. And Father, we want to remain in your will. So Father, we ask that you apply this message, not my message, Lord, but your message to these people today. In Jesus' name we pray. James apparently had a problem with his people. I don't know how prevalent it was in the first church in Jerusalem about doing your own thing, but apparently there was a problem. People wanted to do their own thing. Man, we're made up of a country of Americans. Man, we're land of the free and home of the brave. That's all we are. That's what we're about. We're about freedom. We're about our own personal freedom. We're about doing what we want to do. And all that's well and good. I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with that. If we can line it up with God's will, it will be amazing. And if we don't, it's going to be a train wreck. There's a lot of you folks sitting in here this morning that's not really sure about what your plan is for the next few years, next few days, next few months. We've all seen in the last few months how our lives can change drastically by a phone call or by a situation, and we're just not sure. So I'm going to be in God's will. As your pastor, as your friend, as a member of this church, as a husband. I want to be in God's will. So we need to recognize how limited our knowledge is. And we don't come from a group of people that really like to deal with that kind of thing. We kind of know what our, you know, we're Americans. We're independent. Nothing wrong with that. But we're also very limited. Very limited. James 4:14 tells us, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be, for you're like a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes. The older I get, the more I realize how true that is. You know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, I, you know, you guys that are under, you younger folks, like Jim and Joanne, you know, you younger folks don't understand that quite yet. But it was just a few short weeks, it seems like, in my life that I was y'all's age. And here I am almost 66 years old. It is like a vapor. And I look back on it. It's been awesome. It's been a great vapor. I'm happy with my life. I'm glad that I'm standing here this morning. But James here is highlighting the folly of presuming upon the future without acknowledging our own limitations. It's a folly, James is telling us, to not know our own limitations. What are we limited in? How do we make our decisions? He's comparing our life to a vapor, like a smoke cloud. You know, I build a lot of campfires, and every once in a while I have to move around that campfire because those vapors get in my nose. But it's like a vapor. It's like a whiff, and it's gone. Scripture affirms this in Proverbs 27:1. It says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what that day may bring. Well, I'm a planner. I like to plan things out. I like to schedule things. And I want to be able to, and I'm arrogant. I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm selfish, I'm proud, and I deal with that a lot. So if you come ask me what I'm going to do, I'll probably tell you. You know, that's just the way I am. James says, be careful about that. He calls it a sin. I don't like that. You know, I know I sinned, but I didn't think I sinned about saying I'm going to go fly fishing tomorrow, or maybe Wednesday, it'll be a little warmer. You know, I don't look at that like that. But this verse underscores the importance of humility in recognizing our infinite standing, understanding and making plans. So when I make plans, I need to submit to God's sovereignty. One of these days, maybe I'll get the opportunity to understand this a little better. Maybe I can bring it to you a little bit better, but understanding God's sovereignty. James 4:15 tells us, instead you should say, if the Lord wills, and we will live and do this or that, if the Lord wills. Sometime, a long time ago, I don't know who I was around, it may have been Brother Cease, I don't know who I was around, but somebody preached a message on this, on James 4:15. And for a long, long time, every time I said I was going to do something, I would use that, as if it's the Lord's will. I don't know how often I do. How often I do it now, babe? Ever? I don't pay attention to what I say half the time. That wasn't a good one to ask. My wife said she don't pay much attention to what I say either. I love her. If the Lord wills. Not our will. Now we pray for a certain thing. We're all praying for a certain outcome, for our health. We're all praying for a certain outcome for our finances. We're all praying for a certain outcome come November. But are we praying God's will be done? Because it may not look like what we think it should look like. Are we praying for God's will to be done in our lives, in our finances, in our marriages? That's a tough one. because we all think we have that idea. Instead of boasting about our plans, James instructs us to acknowledge God's will in all of our aspirations. So what do we have to do that? We need a posture of submission, recognizing that our lives are ultimately in His hands. There's going to be people right now that are facing trials and tribulations, and we're going to pray for them. We got amazing prayer lists, folks. I mean, I know y'all have seen it in our bulletins. And we're praying that each one of those folks get an answer to their prayers favorably. But it's not always going to be that way. Along with this life comes death. And God's will is through this life and through those challenges that we come to know Him. We come to accept Him as our Savior. And we come to give Him authority over our lives as believers, as disciples and disciple makers. But in doing that, even though my prayers are going to stay, you know, the way I pray, I pray for our government every day. I pray for our reigning president every day because he's the captain of the boat. And I don't want the boat to sink. Boat's taking on water, folks, but I don't want to go down. And I'm praying for a lot of my sick friends. I've got pastors with cancer. I've got good friends that are suffering with life-threatening diseases. And I'm praying, Lord, heal them. And we're going to pray for somebody when we finish here today, we're going to pray for someone here in this congregation that's asked for prayer. And I'm going to pray, Lord, my will is that you heal them, that you restore their lives. But my prayer is, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's a tough one, guys. We're all going to be going to funerals this year. We're all going to be getting bad news either for ourselves or for some friends. Pray that God's will be done in all these things. So we don't know how that's going to play out. How a disaster in one person's life or a challenge in one person's life may affect generations to come. That's how our God works. Proverbs 19:21. It says, many plans are in a person's heart, but the Lord's decree will prevail. We go along, keep making your plans. Keep laying out a plan for your life, for your families. But when you pray about it, pray that God's will be done. I'm going to read you an illustration here that I found this week. It's pretty cool. A lot of you don't know, but I used to do a lot. I used to fly. I used to take airplanes up, and I'd fly them around, and every once in a while I'd crash one, tear it all up, and I'm still here. I crashed an airplane in Strasbourg, Poconos Airport, totaled the airplane. God's saved me for today. His will was that I didn't die in that airplane crash. Not many people can say that they've been in an airplane crash and lived through it. I did. I was very blessed. It was a miracle. But this is a little article that I found this week, and it's about flying, and I love to talk about flying. I don't fly anymore. It's been a long time, actually, since I've flown, but we used to enjoy it. It says, I'm often asked, if I have a major decision to make, how can I know if it's God's will? How many has ever thought about that? You know, I've got to pray about this. I've got this decision to make. Lord, I want this over here. Give it to me. That's how I pray. I'm pretty deep. Lord,
Will do it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Lord, you see what I need, don't you? It's kind of silly when you say it like that, isn't it? Sometimes that's the way it sounds, though. How can I know if in God's will? In response, I usually begin by explaining that when there's an airplane that comes into land during the night, the air traffic controller tells the pilot to line up on the runway lights. When you're flying at night, and I love to fly at night, it's cool. You can see an airport. You have a on your radio, you have a responder to the tower, and you can light those lights up 10 miles out. And there'll be lights, the whole city's lit up. Of course, most of these airports are close to a major city. And those lights go boom, 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 boom. I mean, and you can see them forever. Brother Vernon, you've seen them. You know, most anybody that's ever flown an airplane here has seen them. And if you keep those lights in a line, then, and you're in the middle of that line, you're good to go. But if those lights start to get diagonal, and they do sometimes because of the wind and your inability to be a good pilot, or not paying attention, got your mind on somewhere it shouldn't be, those lights get out of balance. So how do we know if we're keeping a straight line in our lives? How do we know if when we make these decisions, and that's everything we go to do. We go to buy a house. We go to buy a vehicle. We go to start a business. We go to choose a college. My goodness, to choose a wife. If we all had that to do over, or a husband, if we had that to do over again, whew, Lord, your will be done. I don't think I prayed that with Val. He just answered my prayer automatically. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I got a great wife, but I wasn't praying at that time in my life for a good wife. How do we know if we're lining up on that runway? How do we know we're making a good decision? We need, number one, to line it up. We need confirmation with God's Word. He tells us in just about every decision we're going to make how to go about it. It's in here somewhere. And now with the internet, Google, and everything else that we have, we can find it if we want to look for it. But does it what you're getting ready to do, what you're praying for, what you're hoping for, is it confirmation from God? How about your inner conviction? How does it line up with you as a believer? Are you convicted about a certain thing? Do you feel certain? How do you know? Is it practical? Is the circumstances practical? Does it make sense to anybody else? Talk over your plans. Talk over your decisions. You know, I get a lot of people telling me, I was talking to a family member this week, and they're spending $1 million on a bar out in the middle of the desert. And it's a country store. I hope you're listening. I hope you get this tape. And I'm not sure in my heart, because I think this person's called to ministry. I think this person's called to do something different in his life, in his family's life. But he called me, you know, he shared that with me. I didn't have enough sense to ask him if he's praying about it. I thought about it after I hung up. I'm so busy studying my message about doing God's will, I forgot about it. That's how our lives get sometimes. Does it make sense? What you're planning, what your thoughts and your desires are. How about your godly counsel, your mature Christian friends? I've been blessed with some mature Christian friends. I have. Some of them are in this room. Some of them are not as mature as you think, in age-wise. Some of them are young. Some of them are old. Some of them are mature in the nature of maturity, as we describe it. The counsel of godly, mature friends. I wish Karen was here today. I was going to mention this, she's not here, obviously, but Kurt and Karen, a few years ago, I guess about 7 years ago now, Karen came to me one Sunday after church. At that time, Valerie and I were driving across country about six months a year. You know, every time the bank needed a deposit, we'd go out and run a load, and we'd come back. Sometimes we had some money to deposit, sometimes we didn't. Bruce can tell you about trucking. But we did that, and Karen came to me one Sunday. We were here in church, and I was coming. When I was home, I was here most Sundays, and that was about half of the year, off and on. You guys remember that a lot. And she came to me, and she said, Bob, she said, I'm going to talk to you about something. She said, I've got this feeling that you should get off the road. I said, okay, that's cool. I didn't ask her why she had that feeling. I don't even know if I ever shared that with Val. But she came to me, she said, I have this feeling that you should be here more. Not just here at Walnut Grove, but here more, here in this area more. She said, I just got this feeling. And I'm thinking, okay. I thanked her for it. I didn't really think anything about it. And that wasn't long after that, I had confirmation. It was time to get off the road. Bruce, you'll appreciate this. I was coming out of Kansas City on I-40 eastbound. After Valerie and I had spent the whole day up north of I-40 in some real crooked areas, we was picking up something. I don't have a clue what it was. Huh? No, not in Kansas. We weren't picking up Idaho potatoes. I hope not. No. It was something else. But that's okay. I shouldn't ask Val. We're picking up Idaho potatoes in Florida. No, that wasn't. That was a different story. No, we had picked up something up in Kansas, and we'd gotten on I-40 eastbound out of Kansas City. We were coming. I mean, we had taken all day to get loaded, and that Volvo was eastbound, and I had her going about. She was red hot. She was going about 55 miles an hour. Yeah. I had to buy my own fuel, so I ran slow. And just outside of Kansas City, about 25, 30 miles, I was fixing to get off onto Love's and get a cup of coffee. I was going to try to make St. Louis before I bedded down for the night. We got a late start. Heard a pop going down the road, Bruce. I heard a pop. Couldn't understand, what did I just... We were on the straightaway, but we were about to get off on this overpass to get on the northbound side, or the westbound side, was this Love's truck stop. And when I went to turn into the get-off lane, my steering wheel just went just like this, just spun. I dropped a drag link, Kenny. The drag link on the Volvo had a recall on it. Nobody told me about it. I just had the truck inspected for the yearly inspection. And it dropped a drag link. Drag link is what connects your front steers, your front tires, steer tires, to your steering column. And without that, your steering wheel is absolutely useless. And here I am going down the road with no steering.
After all day of updating.
Yeah, I mean, if it would have happened anywhere other than where it had happened, we'd have been dead. And we'd have probably died in that wreck. As it was, when I set the brakes on that truck, I was shaking like a leaf. We were off the road, onto the shoulder, and it looked like I had just drove over there and set the brakes. Perfect alignment. We weren't tailed into the trailer, wasn't out into interstate. Perfect. And I remember what Karen said. She said, I just got this feeling. And that was my confirmation. It was time to start addressing the exit of that business. There was something more that God wanted me to do. And He was gracious enough to let me live and my wife live and our little dog live through what would have probably been, in most situations, at least a devastating wreck. When you kind of need your steer tires to steer a tractor trailer. Kind of do. It's kind of important. So godly counsel. Pay attention when somebody comes up to you that's walking with the Lord and gives you that little piece of wisdom. It may not make any sense when they're doing it. But file it away. Oh, but the Holy Spirit was good enough to bring that back. All I could see was Karen sitting there saying, I just think it's time for you to come home. So that was a little while after that. It didn't happen immediately that we exited the trucking business. Godly counsel. And I encourage you folks that have some godly wisdom, and it doesn't have to be an old person, it can be a young person, it could be anybody that's been walking with the Lord any length of time. If you have something to share with people, share it. They may need it. It may make a huge difference. That story that I just did, that just told you about, was written in Decision Magazine in February 2023 by Ann Graham Lotz about the illustration of the airplane. While it might not be visible, while we might not get a visible pillar of fire leading us down the road like the Hebrew children had in the desert, we can be confident that God will keep His promise to us in His Word. That if we need wisdom about anything, He will give it to us generously. He says, see James 1:5. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask for it. If you don't know what to do, if you don't know what to hold, if you're dealing with a family issue, if you're dealing with a health issue, if you're dealing with an issue, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly. James 4:16 in verse 17, we'll finish up with this. Guard against arrogance. James 4:16 and 17 says, but as it is, you boast in your arrogance. I never really thought about me making plans for and telling people my plans that was a boasting in arrogance, but that's what James says. And all such boasting is evil. So it is sin to know the good and yet do not do it. James concludes by condemning our arrogance. That he tells us it accompanies our self-reliance and boastfulness. And boasting, it's not. I think it's saying things without considering God's hand in your life. If you're born again, if you're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, then you have the obligation, the privilege, I would say, to go before God and ask Him for His will on every decision we make. Ecclesiastes 5:2 warns against hasty speech. It says, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you're on earth. So let your words be few. We're going to hear a lot of words in the next few months, folks. When you turn the TV on, it's going to get sickening. Sickening. We're going to hear a lot of words. Well, you know what I'm waiting on? I'm waiting on one of them to say if it's the Lord's will. We're talking about bringing this country back to God. When a man steps up and says, I'm running for this office, and if it's God's will, I'll take this job. Because we look down through the Old Testament and New Testament. Old Testament, really, King Nebuchadnezzar. He was a non-believer, but God had him in charge of the Israelites for 70 years. If it's God's will, and God's will is to bring this country back to Him, God's will is to bring the church alive so we have a voice that we're not ashamed of, that we can proclaim Jesus Christ in the streets, because the minority that wants to keep us quiet has no power. The power that's in us is greater than what is in the world. We talked about that last week with my Wiccan friend that contacted me. Understand that. How do we do it? How do we do this? We'll start with humble reflection. Take time to acknowledge how brief our life is. I do it now on a daily basis. You know, it really struck me when I signed up for Medicare. Like, really? I'm that old? It strikes you there, Kenny. It's kind of like, wow, you know, I got to go get Medicare. Then they gave me that blooming dementia test. That really messed me up. Wow. Take time to acknowledge. Don't wait till you're my age to do it. You guys do it. You young folks do it. Have a submissive language. Be submissive. Incorporate if the Lord wills in what you say. It demonstrates a heart of submission to God's authority. Guard against arrogance. I'm going to need your help on this. Stay vigilant about boasting in your own achievements and plans. It says seek accountability. I give you, everyone sitting in this church, that right to come to me and say you're arrogant. So somebody should come to me this afternoon and say that. Because it's just nature for us to be that way. Seek accountability to ensure my words reflect God's will. Surrender your plans. My plan wasn't to be here. I've told you this already. My plan wasn't included. Walnut Grove wasn't in my plans. But I'm glad I am here. And I'm glad you're here. And I see this place growing and being a witness and a light in this community. As it has been, it will be even greater. I had to surrender my plans. Because his ultimate goal was better than mine. His ultimate plan is better than Bob's. He knows what lies ahead. I don't. And embrace God's sovereignty. Folks, he knows what he's doing. He's got this. There's times it's going to feel like you're spinning out of control. He's got this. God is in control of every aspect of our lives if we're his. And on that note, if you're not his, become his soon. It's not worth it. It's not. David writes in Psalms 31:14, "But I trust you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors." But I trust you, O Lord. I trust you, O Lord, when things aren't going my way. I trust you, O Lord, when the doctor says he can't fix it. I trust you, O Lord, when I wake up and there's some legal stuff that's on the table that you didn't remember doing the night before. I trust you, O Lord, when the bank account's not healthy, when it doesn't look good. I trust you, O Lord, when you get that layoff notice or you don't have that job that you were counting on. Or you had that house that you had your mind set on and the deal falls through. I trust you, O Lord. David wrote this in a cave when he was running from Saul and Saul was trying to kill him. And would David say, I trust you, O Lord? Anointed king years ago, I hadn't been appointed yet. While he was running for his life, David said, I trust you, O Lord. Do you trust him today? Do you trust him with everything? With sickness, with death, do you trust him? Oh my goodness, what a peace that can bring. So in conclusion, living in submission to God's will will require humility, trust, and obedience. As we navigate the uncertainties of life, and there's going to be a mess of them, may we continually seek his guidance and surrender our plans to his sovereign purposes. Let's strive. That means you've got to put some effort. You've got to take that step. Let's strive to align our will with his, trusting in his wisdom and providence for our lives. Folks, I don't know what tomorrow holds. There's going to be some people get some awful news tomorrow all over this world. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I do know who holds tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. I do know who holds tomorrow. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we do the best we can. We make a mess of it and you pick us back up. Oh, Father, I thank you that you're my King, that you are my God, that you are my Father, and you never move. You're never wavering. You're never unsure like me. Father, I praise you for that. And I ask that you be with these folks today. No matter what happens, Have us focus on the kingdom. Your will be done, as you taught us to pray, on earth as it is in heaven. Father, your will. If it's your will that this church grows, if it's your will that this church goes forward, if it's your will that we witness to the nations, Father, use us. Use us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Real quick announcement before we get to our last hymn. Tonight at 6:30, the church has been invited to Plum Tree Presbyterian Church. We're going to have a night of worship. The Ridge Church from Buck Mountain will be there. And, of course, Plum Tree has a praise and worship band. And at 6:30, Val and I will be going. So I just wanted to extend that invitation to you. We're going to be starting to do some things like that here. I've got a couple of people that's lined up or not scheduled yet, but have been in talks with. So if you're not doing anything at 6:30 tonight and you want to worship the Lord, come join us at Plum Tree Presbyterian.